Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, dear listeners. You are listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. I am Marcus.
I'm Audrey.
And today we're honored to have with us Manpreet Dhillon. She is a DEI expert, and she is currently located in Canada, if I understand that correctly. Hello.
Hello, hi, thanks for having me. Yes, currently I'm in the Netherlands, but I'm going back to Canada, so always in transition.
Okay. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So let's barge right in. Who are you, what do you do, and how did you come to be doing what you are doing?
Okay, I mean, that's always a big question. So who I am. So my name is Manpreet, it means loves from the heart. My family, I was born and raised in Canada. And I've a lot of my passion is around making inclusive communities and inclusive organizations. I decided at the age of 13 that I wanted to end racism, war, and sexism. And so that's actually the work that I do. I look at how we can help people be more in their own power and also understand how the culture influences their choices as leaders, and also creating a really great and how we have more connection in the world, how we actually have foster people to be more inclusive, understand that we all are different, but also how do we work with each other's strengths and come together on the commonalities. We are a lot more alike than we are different. And so a lot of my work, as I have background in human resources, change management, internal auditing, project management, all those things. But I've been in diversity and inclusion for about 20 years and really seeing the transition of like, when we bring people together on commonalities, we actually bring back the human and human elements into our society and remember that we are all connected and we all are all not that different from one another as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You just said that you were born and raised in Canada. However, in the bio that you've sent us, you describe yourself as a settler. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah, so in Canada, when we introduce ourselves as a settler, we are settled on a land that actually isn't ours. So with Indigenous lands and the Indigenous peoples of Canada, they are actually owners and stewards of the land. And so all of us immigrants who have gone to Canada, we are settled on their land, but we don't own it. So it's always about acknowledging the land that of the people that we're on and the land of the people that are ancestrally holding the space for the rest of us. And so when we talk about settler, it's really about the fact that it's acknowledging the fact that someone else is actually the ancestors of the land and we're there as guests of theirs. So my family's from Punjab. So that's actually where my ancestral land would be. It would be in Punjab. But because I live in Canada, that's why we talk about being settlers elsewhere as well.
Oh, nice.
Okay, thank you. You've started your own consulting agency, VESA Global. What does VESA stand for?
The VESA actually stands for connection in Croatian. But when you talk to the Serbians, they all say that it means nepotism. So that's just something I come across with a lot. But it is looking to build a company that we fostered connection within people themselves and within communities that they live in and the people around them. So that's actually where the concept of VESA came from at the beginning.
Okay. Thank you very much. You've been working in the topic of D&I for 20 years, you were saying. That means that you started when nobody was talking about it. Then you were there when everybody was talking about it. And now you're there when people are trying to go back on it. 4 years ago, everybody was into it and all the initiatives were really growing. And we see now that it is going down, that budget are cut. What are your take on that? What do you think is it due? And what are your speculation on the topic?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time because, I mean, yeah, when I started the work, diversity and inclusion as a field has been around since the 1960s. Focused on race, especially for Black women, and what it means for them to be in corporate America. When I was talking about it, it was more about culture competency, and it was very limited in the types of conversations we talked about and what that looked like. And And obviously 4 years ago, everyone became very aware, because I mean, it is great that we started really bringing forward the equity deserving groups, looking at the race and disabilities and the people LGBTQ plus community as well. And one of the things is, as with the budget cuts that we're looking at and the change in feelings towards the industry, I think it's actually, in some ways, it's a very positive thing, because it goes to show all the places where people were lying to themselves and lying to each other. If we don't understand what people's true sentiments are about topics, we can't actually meet them where they're at, because then I feel like people are fake a little bit about what they're willing to change, what they're not willing to change. I know that's a little controversial when I say that, but I also feel that one of the things is, like, when we're trying to get everyone to be on the same page, we really need to understand what do they really value. And one of the things that we're seeing with all of this pushback, we're seeing that there's a huge mismatch of values within our society and within people and communities. And we can't, unless we have the values conversation, we can't actually meet each other where we're at. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it's obviously, I get really sad about the fact that we have so much discord and we're falling back in so many ways about having this conversation. I've never, in the last couple of months of the work that I've been doing, I've never experienced so much racism in my life than I have in the last couple of months. It's actually been really difficult to even be doing this work. Mm-hmm. And the number of comments we receive and the number of pushback and blatant, like, discrediting of me as a professional, but even like my team as professionals. And I, at the end of the day, on the flip side, there's still people who are wanting to do this work. So I think one of the things is it's interesting, even this week, because I kind of fell into this, well, you know, media saying all these things, that there's all this legislation coming out of the United States. We're seeing all of this, all these politicians speaking up against this, all these leaders speaking up against D&I. But on the other hand, it's actually ingrained into the way that we're working. It's become legislation so many different ways. When we're looking at the ESG metrics, when we're looking at how many boards are measured on their representation on the boards, when we're looking at how customers are actually viewing their organizations, and customers are deciding on if they're going to work with organizations based on how much they're following an inclusive way of being. The changes already started to happen, which is amazing. But at least I think one of the biggest things for the industry is that we have to change the way that we work as well, and how we actually try to implement those changes. And that's where the change is coming in as well. So it's a kind of exciting in some ways. Mm-hmm. Some ways it's very scary. And I feel for a lot for the practitioners who are doing this work, because they're putting their heart and soul into this work, and it's actually really, really difficult in many ways as well.
Okay. What do you think in the D&I initiative in the past we did wrong and we should change or do better in the next approach?
Well, we saw this happen there's been a few cases where people were too focused on segregating rather than bringing people together. And I say that because I know that there's a lot of trainings out there that were anti-racism trainings that were like, well, the white people are doing this wrong. And, you know, as white people, you're held responsible. Well, they're not the ones who made the mistake. Let's focus on the people. Let's see how we can all work together on making sure that we create equitable systems and inclusive systems so everyone rises together. This isn't about taking away from one another. And I think that's where I found some of the things that we did wrong as practitioners was, it was too much like we're trying to take our space, but there was always enough space to take up. We just needed to step into, like, we needed to find ways that the space became ours. And so I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that we made. And I think those sentiments created a bit more discord in society and community than actually bringing us together for the common good. And so I think, and one of the other things is, like, I think we focus too much on the people aspects, which is necessary because we want change behavior, but it's just as important to change systems and understand real change management and understand leadership engagement and organizational culture in order for this change to happen as well.
Now I'm going to talk to the leadership coach on HR professional side of you. More and more companies ask their recruit to have green skills. What do you understand in that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting because when we were thinking about these skill sets, people keep asking for skill sets that we haven't been able to fully develop either. So we have to have some like leeway on, sorry, I was laughing about that, because we're asking people to step up into something that they've never been trained on. And then we're being like, okay, you have to have these skills. There hasn't been enough space for that to happen. So I think that this is something that we really need to consider when we're thinking about recruitments and stuff like that. And it goes back to the whole thing about, you know, recruitment requirements. And are the recruitment requirements equitable? Because is it possible for those people? Is it possible? Are we creating the requirements in a way that people can really understand, can actually meet them, and who can meet them? So it kind of goes back to that question again. And so, yeah, sorry, I just always start to laugh when we're thinking about the way the recruitment is done these days. And you're like, that's just not, I think there's different ways to approach the recruitment as well.
Okay. So now we learned at the beginning that you've been really working all over the world. My question would be, over the years, have you seen changes, good or bad? And can we give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, I do. Changes have happened to us, absolutely. So when I started my business 6 years ago, we were still having to educate people on why this is important. At least when 4 years ago, we don't have to do that anymore, why it's important. But actually, in the last 6 months, I've had to go back to educating people again of why this is important. So that's been an interesting trend. When you come to the United States, what diversity and inclusion means to them is very different. In Canada, we focus a lot on the Indigenous peoples of Canada and to make sure that, you know, that's a foundational piece of how we work and what that looks like. The race conversation is a little bit different in Canada too. We do have a lot of Blacks, but people of color have higher percentage. So that's obviously different. Canada has their first Canadian chief accessibility officer. So we've been trying to, you know, ramp up our accessibility things. Being in Europe has been interesting because the Netherlands, they're very advanced on, especially in the Netherlands, they're very advanced on the disability front and how people with disabilities are within the workplace. They have legislation, if your company is over a certain size, 5% of your population has to have identified with disabilities. Whereas sometimes when I come to work in Europe, I'm still having the gender equality conversation, where in Canada, we've gone way beyond that at this point. We're still having the gender equality conversation, but you're thinking about all equity deserving groups. And then in the U.S., the race conversation is very different because you focus on Blacks and Latinos. Someone like me of Indian heritage, it doesn't really matter. We're a little bit lower on the rung there. And they talk about the Indigenous, but not the same as Canada. We put them front and center, and U.S., they don't. So it's been really interesting when you work in different countries. You know, like in India, we still deal with like caste systems as well. And they don't really talk about race, but racism does exist there as well. So it really goes back to understanding the needs of what diversity inclusion means for that country, what they are prioritizing and what their government's prioritizing as well, and where they're putting the funding, because that's actually going to help to move forward some of this additional work as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for these insights. To wrap it up, we would like to ask you our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand with which you could do over the course of the next 3 years, whatever you wish in your professional life and for the common good, what would you do with it?
I would actually, it's totally offside of what I do right now, but I would actually develop or educate modern educational agriculture technique programs for rural women farmers. Because I feel like if we can actually provide the education and the tools for rural women farmers, we can actually help change climate change in many different ways. Because I think regenerative agriculture will really shift the way that we function in the world and how that impacts our climate overall. So that would be my magic wand question, which is very outside of what the work that I'm doing right now.
No problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
Manfred, thank you very much. It was very enlightening.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. I'm really, it was really great, very grateful.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.